And now, this episode of Flight Risk brought to you by our lovely sponsors at...
Caledonian Captain and a Gandroid Tech. Better watch yourself or you're gonna...
What
get...
are you doing, Hillary?
Hi, Kesh. I am painting a poster for the show.
What show?
Our show. The one in which I, Hillary, am the dashing Alina teacher, guiding and caring for our troop as we make our way across the stars.
And I am the wise and aged Trendoshan, lending my strength and wisdom.
Aged is more dignified, but yes. And Skip is our youthful Kalarin seeker, coming into their own as we journey through the galaxy in search of kyber crystals.
And Koba?
Koba is our morally gray figure. He has connections to the underworld. He's a Dug who's seen things.
And what do you call this show?
The Heroes of the Hydean Way.
We're not on the Hydean Way.
We could be. Someday.
You can find our many adventures at thehydeanway.com.
Hey, flight fans. GM, as always, Dwayne here. My pronouns are he and him. This episode of Flight Risk stars...
Hi there, this is Christine Chester. My pronouns are she, her... And tonight, I will be playing the part of Madame Beltane, the Umbaran hired gun enforcer slash politico, whose pronouns are also she, her.
My name is Leslie. My pronouns are she, her. I play the recalcitrant and ever-charming Jen E. Ford, who is an Iktochi skip tracer, and she is also a she, her.
Let's buckle up. It's time for another Flight Risk episode. Tracer Jen E. Ford has been traversing the space alone since leaving the Fortunas on Nar Shaddaa. As her life finally returns to normality, she receives yet another call from the Count. What perilous task awaits our favorite hobo cop? Welcome back, everybody, to another fun Flight Risk episode. As always, I am your GM, Dwayne. Continuing on our Group B stories, our one-shots with our fabulous guest stars coming back to fill us in on what their characters have been doing in our skip year between Volume 1 and Volume 2. We are catching up with our favorite hobo cop, Jen E. Ford. So that means we have Leslie back with us. Leslie, how are you doing?
I am doing quite well, and yourself, Dwayne?
I'm pretty good. I'm stumbling over words. I think I've been drinking too much pink lemonade today, so I don't know what's going to happen. It should be a fun editing thing for me.
Pink lemonade.
Hey, this for the kids, it's pink lemonade. I'm not saying what it's mixed with, but there's pink lemonade. Mostly pink lemonade.
I see.
All right. So, Leslie, Jen, we haven't seen her in this timeline for about 5 or 6 months. What is the craziest thing Jen has been up to in the 6 months since we've seen her?
She hasn't really been doing much in the way of crazy. She's been taking small but reliable jobs, making connections, looking for information, connecting back into some old pathways in a less official manner. Probably the most ridiculous thing she did after the Fortunas gave her her weekly stipend of what, like 25 credits?
Well, I thought...
Or whatever that was.
Well, I thought Anarchy set you up with something after stealing like that 50 million credits from those crime bosses. I thought
yes.
She gave you an allowance
yes.
of some
like grade. Like a of 25 credits a week or so. It was a pittance. A
wow.
pittance.
I see you're moving up in the world.
However, she received a ship from her own mysterious benefactor, and the Count actually paid her. The most ridiculous thing is actually responding to the Count's call for help, because you know, the whole Fortuna scene was kind of nuts.
not what Jen's used to.
A little, it was beneficial, but it was very stressful.
Well, it's one of those character building moments.
Also, she got like 3 cavities from all those chocolates.
Well, you didn't have to eat all of it. I mean, it was just, you know.
Well, I didn't eat all of them. I just ate enough of them.
Just because you steal 30 pounds of chocolate does not mean you need to eat it.
I shared.
I have not begged it ever.
And that beautiful voice, people here, you may recognize it as a guest voice you've had before. If you've listened to a quality podcast of Heroes of the Hiding Way, or Tales of the Hiding Way, right? That's the other one? They're on the same feed. I just subscribed.
Tales from the Hiding Way, which is... Yeah.
Hiatus.
Yeah, it's on hiatus but for the time being. I'm all over the internet, yes, people.
Yes.
Yeah, no, Christine's like busy.
I got 3 other shows.
Exactly. Which we are very happy that Christine Chester was able to squeeze us into her schedule of the producing of the 47 shows she's on right now. So we have her for the next 9 minutes, so we gotta make this work. So let's get this there.
Yep, let's go.
Talk really fast.
So, Christine, welcome to Flight.
Why do you think the Madam's scenes are so short in the other episodes? It's like, come on, we're on a timetable.
We can only afford her for 9 minutes. We don't have a lot of Patreon funds yet, guys. It's high demand.
Wait, I'm supposed to get paid?
What?
I'll make you dinner. Deal with it.
Okay.
So, Christine.
That's true. If dinner counts, then I still owe Leslie.
All right, Christine. Let the people know what other shows you're on.
So we already mentioned Heroes of the Hidean Way. I also do 2 D&D 5e actual play podcasts, The Glass Dagger and Omen's Call. And then recently started a Star Trek Adventures podcast with fellow Heroes player Brandon Perdue. And that is Endeavor Through the Maelstrom.
I just have 1 question. Why do you dislike sleep so much that you don't ever want to do it?
I don't know. I just gave it up a long time ago, and you know, it's this scary concept, like going unconscious for like people
and
want like 8
under
hours.
The Egon Spengler sleep for 15 minutes, research the rest of the time. Only instead of research, it's podcasts.
Well, basically,
sleep is the cousin of death, so I understand the fear. I get you on that one. All right.
Yes, but death is peace.
True.
So sleep is the cousin of peace.
See, now we're getting all philosophical. We're not even going to do an episode. We're just going to talk about the nature of sleep for the next hour and a half.
Memento Mori is the name of this episode.
All right, Christine, you are actually playing the character you voiced. You're playing Madame Beltane, so that is very cool.
Yeah.
So I have a question. This is probably the first time in a while that the Madame has gone back into the field. What was the last field assignment that the Madame did?
Define field. Does Nar Shaddaa still count? Is it just a matter of having to get her hands dirty?
I would say getting her hands dirty. Nar Shaddaa would count. I'm not saying she had to like leave Nar Shaddaa, but when's the last time she, you know, messed up the great manicure she pays for?
Well, you see, problem even within a organized crime family is people get stupid. And sometimes you have to remind them why exactly you're in charge. We had a couple of our runners who decided to abscond with a shipment, and I could have hired somebody to track them down, but they needed to understand exactly who they crossed, and, well, let's just say I also enjoy that particular lesson.
Creepy. I dig it. All right. So where our story is picking up, just like our other one-shots we've done, we're catching the very end of this adventure. The Madam's mysterious benefactors who are helping produce the blast throwers for the Count off of Guy from Narc's designs have been missing. They have, you know, they may go disappearing every once in a while, but this has been a long time where the Madam has not been able to contact them, which is highly irregular for her. So she has actually had to leave Nar Shaddaa to look for her benefactors. And through her investigation, her travels, her adventures, her breaking of other people's limbs if necessary type moments. She has found herself the planet of Calendus 7, deep within Sith territory. She has been told through her contacts that the last known whereabouts of these benefactors was this planet. They were taken here for some reason she does not yet know. They just know they've been taken against their will. This has gotten to a slightly hairier situation than the madam would like to do on their own. So they've called a favor in from their favorite former beau, Count Yendell, and he has sent over the trusty, the reliable hobo of the stars, Jenny Ford, to assist. Now, the Count knows that Jen has a complicated relationship with the madam and has failed to tell Jen who exactly she's going to be working with. So Jen is showing up to Calendar 7, knowing that the Count is paying her a huge amount of credits to help a friend of his. So we're going to start with the two of you meeting. And like every good story, whether it's Dungeons and Dragons or whether it's Star Wars, we're going to start ourselves here in a cantina. What type of cantina are we in? What type of place would the madam look for? Is she going to go for a dive bar? Is she going to a more established place? What do you think she would look for, Christine?
I think we are in a dive bar for two different reasons. One, it's darker, which is something she quite likes. Most of the time, they can't pay to keep the lights on in the literal sense. And that's just more comfortable. Two, they're a fabulous place to gather information and pick up leads and understand who not to cross in an environment and what the lay of the land is.
Very cool. All right, Leslie, what's the name of this bar?
Chromium Ugnaught.
The Chromium Ugnaught. All right, I dig it. All right, so Jen is stepping out of a speeder in front of this Chromium Ugnaught bar. In front of it, there is a life-size, which means they're very tiny, actual Ugnaught in front of the bar made out of chromium. It is shiny. It is beautiful. One of the part-time employees, their entire job is to show up in the morning, buff the heck out of this thing, show up in the afternoon and buff it one more time, and that's kind of what they do. So this Ugnaught is perpetually the shiny, most beautiful thing on this street. Inside, she steps in and she sees a classic dive bar. It would be one of those situations where whatever the Star Wars equivalent of sawdust is all over the floor. Probably still sawdust. They cut trees. Why would they have sawdust in Star Wars? Who knows?
Dirt.
Yeah, dirt, space dust. Just, you know, it's space dust.
It's just grit.
Yeah. There's that familiar...
It's good, healthy grit. Yeah.
There's that familiar crunch as you step onto the floor and you're like, oh, Jen is home. And as Jen walks into this place, we'll say our camera pulls around and we see Jen for the first time in quite a while. Has she upgraded her vagrant look in any way? Because the last time we saw her, she was wearing the security outfit that they wore to the auction. So what, is she still wearing that, or she changed into another wardrobe?
No, the auction tux has been sequestered for its own safety. It now resides in a nice box on the ship under the driver's seat. With some mothballs. She is back into her workaday brown pants, brown jacket, mottled trencher, and sad, sad hat flopped on her head. She kind of looks like Raph from the Turtles when he's going to see the movies. Only less turtling. Not too Raph, but yes.
All right, as Jen walks in, she, again, doesn't know who she's meeting. The madam is in this dive bar. Where would the madam be sitting?
I think she's found... she's waiting to actually meet with her contact? Or is she just, like, hanging out here for a while?
You're waiting to meet with a contact.
Okay, then I think I've got the remotest booth I could find, trying to make sure I have cleared out the immediate vicinity with a lot of glares, maybe a few credits spent, just to ensure we have our privacy.
Okay. And as our camera pans over to the madam, what does she look like now? Because last time we saw her, she was in her power suit in a business meeting type mode. What does she wear when she's actually out on the field?
So she still doesn't quite fit into this this dive bar environment that she has chosen, because for one thing, all of her clothes look like they're tailored. But she is wearing nice, durable boots that rise up, stopping just below her knee, form-fitting gray pants, a long black tunic, and a blue jacket with a sort of like scaled effect on it, that has a hood attached that is currently up over top of her head. And we can see a little bit of her like white hair is sticking out of the hood as she's currently nursing a drink.
All right, so you see Zhen standing in the door, and Zhen, your instructions were just to meet the count's person here, and that's kind of where the instructions ended, and it probably frustrates Zhen that there wasn't a description of who they were meeting, but...
Inevitably, but, you know, not that the folder I got on the twins prepared me for anything.
That's true.
Assuming that the other person knows what's going on, I'm just going to saunter over to the bar and order an unopened bottle of something.
Okay. And something is a specialty brew made here on this planet. It's a very powerful drink, and only those who are strong of liver drink the something. So
technically, it is something. There is an umlaut over the U, and it is not a TH. It is a thorn.
See, personally, I prefer the else.
So yes, you
nobody drinks or it's just
no. That's
it's not
that's
safe.
Yeah, that's like straight paint thinner. You wouldn't drink that.
I was about to say, only the species without eyes.
Without the eyes or the noses to burn from the smell. Those are the ones those drink the ore. Yes, the bartender, you order your Zoom thing and he looks at you and are you sure about that?
Yeah.
All right, he goes, he takes one off and he slides it over to you and just shakes his head.
Your funeral. Are you just here for the drinks, or are you looking for someone?
Somebody's supposed to meet me here.
Would they be the mysterious and impressive type?
You know, probably, but I don't technically know. Do you have a mysterious and impressive type in?
Yeah, well, there's a woman back over there who bought out an entire section. Oh, we don't usually do that, but she was waving around a lot of credits, and I ain't no fool. My dad always said, if someone wants to give you credits, you take them. She's over there nursing one of them nicer drinks. It's called an else, but she was calling it an else. It must be a regional thing. So I'm not going to be holding that against her.
And you're not going to turn away those credits. No. Yeah. Yeah, I gotcha. Well,
I'm guessing she's your person.
Elsewise, it's probably my funeral again. And as Zhen walks over, she reaches in her pocket and flips out her little telescoping glass that she keeps, since she does not use dive bar glassware.
Well, she's classy.
And she just strolls toward the corner and the hooded figure, eyeballing carefully, but not really realizing what's happening yet.
Probably the first thing you notice, since it's pretty dark in here, are how her eyes are sort of lighting up just from like catching the little bits of stray light, since she can see quite well here. And as you come over to the table, she lifts her head up and says, sorry, so they sent the vagrant again.
Oh, it's you.
Have a seat.
I turn around and grab a chair from a nearby table and set it at the end of the booth so I have ease of departure. But then I do slap my drink down and break open my something. How can I help you?
Something that might actually be in your wheelhouse. I'm here looking for my benefactors who have gone silent for far, far too long.
Traced them this far, can't find them now.
My abilities only work as long as people are willing to talk, or if I can make them talk.
Oh, so you need to find the people to make them talk. Fair enough.
As you guys are exchanging these pleasantries, catching up, you know, like old gal pals would be, the door of this cantina, the Chromium Ugnat, opens, and a Sith Imperial officer kind of walks in, and you both can tell that she is uncomfortable being here, and she just seems extremely nervous. And she's looking around, and she's like, you know, a kid who's just realized that their parent is no longer standing next to them. They just don't know what to do. And the madam, you realize that you were waiting for this unsure individual to come talk to you. You have been able to, either through threats of violence or threats of credits, convince them to give you some additional information.
If it appears after a minute that they're not going to be able to follow the same kind of path that Jen did in order to find their way over to me, the madam will kind of roll her eyes and stand up and to go to retrieve them. As she is standing up, Jen, you do notice two things I left out of the description earlier. One, she does have, she's wearing gloves. And two, she has a fairly large pistol of some kind strapped to her thigh, but it doesn't look like any slug thrower you've ever seen.
Hmm. I top up my drink and flick my hat back a bit and just kind of recline to see what's going to happen.
And so the madam will approach the Sith officer.
Are you the person I'm supposed to be talking to?
What do you have for me?
You're looking for a couple of Twi'leks, right?
Yeah.
I know that. Can we sit down? It feels weird just standing here talking like this.
Right this way. Step into my office.
I kick back slightly so that they can get into the booth easily.
Well, hi. My friend said that you were going to pay credits for any information about Twi'leks, and I could really use some credits. They don't pay us a lot here.
I don't care about that. Tell me about the Twi'leks.
Yeah, well, okay. We brought some in. They were all bound up. Like, I've never really seen us bring in prisoners like that before. Usually when we handcuff people like that, it's Wookiees or Trandoshans, you know, someone intimidating. But these guys, they were small. But yeah, the two of them, they seem really important, you know, because they're up on the Grand Moff's ship and no one's allowed to talk to them. Yeah, so they seem to be kind of important. Yeah, so I'm not sure if that's exactly what you're looking for, but they are Twi'leks. They seem very important. They're in our custody, so that seems like maybe what you're looking for, if that's what you want, but that's what I have.
How long ago did you last see them?
They came in about 3 days ago. But I haven't been able to talk to them. The Grand Moff says only he can talk to them, and he hasn't come back yet, so we're waiting for him to come back, and then he'll talk to them.
When is that supposed to happen?
Well, he's supposed to be coming back tomorrow, and then he's going to take his ship, and we're going to go to the next place. We're looking for Kyber crystals, and this is just a layover. We're just waiting for him to get back.
What can you tell me about the Moff's ship?
It's really nice. I've never been on a ship this nice before. It's really fancy.
How about more about its security protocols?
Of course, we usually have a lot of people around, but the Grand Moff isn't there right now, and when he leaves, he takes his personal guard with him. And so right now, there's like maybe 50 of us up there, you know, just the normal security and stuff. And things tend to be a little more, you know, relaxed when the Grand Moff isn't around, because he likes things to be done in a really strict way. And when he's not there, you know, it's nice.
Are you staying planet side a while?
I'm just taking the afternoon off. I'm going back up right after this. We all get an afternoon off once a week, and that's what I decided to do with my afternoon off. It seemed like it'd be worth my time if the credits are real.
You head back on a group transport?
Yeah, I'll be headed back up there in a few hours.
Fair enough.
So is that all you needed? Do I get the credits now?
The madam pulls out a stack of credits. She places them on the table. She doesn't remove her hand, though, from them yet, and just starts to, like, pick up the coins and let them, like, fall one by one back down to the table. And is repeating that motion, sort of showing, yeah, they're real, but hasn't handed them over yet.
So, yeah, her eyes just dart directly towards me. She's just no longer looking at either of you. She's just watching the coins fall out of your hand and picked up, fall again.
I'd like to take her ID badge.
Like, without her knowing, or ask her directly for it?
Preferably.
If you want to try to take it, sure. That would be a skullduggery, I believe.
Yes.
I like it. I think Leslie and I are on the same train of thought, but heading to the station from two different directions.
Exactly.
So do we roll destiny points on the show?
What dice? I mean, I'd have to have my dice. I have to have my dice roller open for that.
Are we just gonna go back and forth with two pips?
Did you guys do the special rolls initiative, or did you roll a force dice?
Ooh, no, we didn't.
What's special rolls?
You have to click special rolls, and then you click roll destiny. Then it gives you a destiny dice.
Oh, well, let's do that again then.
Oh, now I'm a dark side point.
Good job, Leslie.
See, we still found balance.
So, audience, I don't think this is my job on this show, but I'm going to do it anyway. We have two dark side points and two light side points in our pool.
There we go.
Okay, so what's my difficulty then? Unless you're just going to let me, you know, let the Scrooge McDuck move distractor.
I'm going to give you, I'll say it's going to be... we'll say two purple. It's on her shirt. It's one of those hanging from your breast pocket type situations. But I'll give you two boost because she's definitely focused on the coins and the madam and really wanting this money. So she's not paying attention. So it'll be two purple, but you get two blue added to your skullduggery. If there's anything else you could argue, I'd be willing to listen to it, but I don't know.
No, I'm good with the double boost. That's more than I was expecting.
It looks like you did well.
All right, for success and a threat. So what I'm thinking Jen does is Jen actually reaches in front of the Sith and kind of sets her hand on top of the madam's for a moment, give her a chance to talk, and then withdraws her hand. And at the time as she withdraws it, she kind of catches the badge and pockets it.
Okay. I dig it. Any idea for your threat? Other than the awkward tension, but you putting your hand on the madam without asking permission?
I don't know. I mean, that actually would be a fairly solid threat.
Yeah, that would be a good reason to take like a strain or something like that, as there's that moment of when you first do that, she just glares at you.
Yes, the tension becomes palpable at that moment. So yeah.
And then... Okay, do you want me to take a strain for that?
Yeah, I think that'd be the easiest way of doing it, yeah. Just tension right there.
But I think that at the same time, you know, I take it she has no clue. I've annoyed the madam, which on one hand ups my stress level, but at the other time feels really good. but I think that the Sith sees the tension, knows that we need the information, but also that she needs to give more because she saw the look that passed between us.
So, okay. And then I have a question for you, Leslie. I forget how the power that your character has, the 4C thing, how does that work again?
The 4C thing mechanically is just related mainly to initiative, but it is also open for the GM to play with.
Okay, so, which I do love to play. Okay. So I'm going to say in that moment when you touched the madam, you had just a quick flash of like a third-person view of the two of you on a very elaborate ship and doors closing in front of you, and then you come back to reality. So just a little flash of someone locking a door on you.
So there's a moment of hesitation after I've pulled my hand back and I've gotten the badge. I've made no effort to hide the fact that I took it from the madam. But she would probably, if she's watching me, as I assume she is since I just made her mad, or at least uncomfortable, I feel like she would have seen the flicker in my eyes as that hit me. Like, it was, you know, I was looking at what I was doing, and then that brief moment of, wait, what? And then back into the scene.
Okay. Now, Dwayne, what are Sith uniforms like?
Shiny, if you go by Knights of...
well, that's what I'm curious. Is it like that, like the full armor kind of thing? Do they have helmets, the whole thing?
I think this is more not a combat uniform, but I envision in my head like what you'd see from like an Imperial officer when they're on like a Star Destroyer, just very that dark black with the charcoal gray, very sharp looking uniform. This person's clearly not a combatant in any way. She's not one of those frontline warrior types. She could be definitely a desk jockey.
Yeah. Okay.
She's the Azra of the Sith.
Yes, pretty much.
What more do you need? I mean, I can't take you back with me. I need my job. I mean, the credits are nice, but I get paid through my job too, and I need my job. Even more to the point that the Sith don't really, you know, fire you as much as they do kill you, and so I can't lose my job.
They fire you out of a cannon into the sun.
Yes, right out of the airlock. Yeah, that's usually what happens.
I understand, and I'm not asking you to walk us in the front door, but you're a smart girl. You must realize... I'll say this. Call in sick the rest of your shift.
If you need help, we can definitely do that.
You're not gonna go hurt people, are you? Because, you know, all my friends are on that ship.
I don't want to hurt people. But the more I know, the less likely I'll have to.
I don't know. What am I gonna do? Just stay down here at the bar?
Yeah, I think you're gonna have a stomachache. And Jen flips out another telescoping glass and sets it on the table and takes some of the madam's drink and mixes some of her drink. And just slides it over.
Ooh, the deadly something else. Ooh.
It's only noxious. The deadly is when you actually have the ore. Yes.
So she desperately wants these credits, and yeah, the madam and Jen are will be intimidated by the way you guys carry each other and or carry yourselves. I should say carry each other would be a weird image.
As far as I know, we both function independently.
Isn't that just hugging?
Yeah.
At that point. Well, this is about him needing a piggyback.
In my head, it's like, okay, who would carry who over the threshold in this shipping moment of them getting married in my head? I don't know. So, sorry.
I would carry.
Okay, see, there you go.
That's what you think.
There'd actually be a knockdown, drag out fight, and we'd both just kind of crawl across the threshold. I'd like to point out in my head, or. Has flecks of Durasteel in it, like Goldschlager.
Yeah,
but it's Durasteel, and it's a vaguely purpley, more viscous liquid.
Oh goodness, and then nice and like cold medicine almost. I like it.
Oh yeah,
just can you try not to hurt anyone. I mean, we're not bad people, you know. We just have to have a job, and we have bills to pay, and families to take care of, and. I guess I can go up again tomorrow. I'll check myself into clinic or something, and just go back then. But please don't hurt my friends.
Terrible things have been done because they were just following orders. But I respect your problem. Drink.
Yeah, so yeah, she'll just take it. She can roll a shot, right?
It's half a tumbler. Because it's like two shots, basically, a shot of each. Mm.
So, yeah, she just takes it and takes one big swig. And for a second, she looks fine. And then, like, if this was an animated cartoon, you would see the green line start going up her neck, covering her entire face.
I'm going to let go of the credits and slide them across the table to her.
And, yeah, you just hear the gurgle in her stomach, and it's not sitting very well. And she's going to stumble away to make a call
up. Feel better. The madam says that she gets up.
Yeah, she definitely stumbles over to the bar, and you see her pulling out her communicator. And yeah, she'll be making her call to let her know either she's calling for an ambulance because she thinks she's dying, or she's letting her work know right away that she's not going to be coming back on time. So you guys have her ID badge, and she is not going back up to the ship anytime soon.
So what are your thoughts about that?
Which aspect? The fact that she can't hold her liquor? Pretty funny.
I was more referring to your light fingers.
Typically, ID badges in the organizations are doubly functional. She flips it over to kind of show that it's got the part that the wave. Like, it's not just, look at me, I'm so-and-so.
It's also got the
key card.
Doop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or even it's got the bar for swiping, or it's got the ridges for inserting, you know. It's
multi-purpose tool.
It's, yeah.
I see. You're busy solving the second problem.
Is the first getting a ride?
The first is getting to the ship, yes.
I think we can manage that. Do we know what kind of ship it is yet?
It would just be a standard, like, transport ship. You guys both have been around the galaxy a few times, so you would know what the common ship used. The madam specifically, you work with, you know, people on the bad side of the law, so you know what the Sith would normally use. So you would recognize a Sith's transport ship when you saw it.
Okay. Do I know if there's any, like... Well, Verdumos, Sith transport ships, I guess, would I know of any place that would be good for stowing away aboard one? Any, like, smuggling compartments that would be large enough, or rather something that would get converted into such?
Yeah, I mean, that would be right up the madam's alley for the type of work that you do. You would know all the hidden places, because the stuff you'd send us, you know, ship out does not sit on the, you know, in the regular storage area, so you would know all the hidden nooks and crannies.
You've had dealings with Sith? Officers and the like?
I have.
And you know how officers like to decorate.
I'm listening.
Maybe our good Moff has a taste for sculptures that need delivery.
Are you proposing that we are the sculptures?
I'm proposing that I have a ship that could make a delivery. Otherwise, we could probably hide in a closet somewhere, but, you know, I get tired of that quickly.
See, I was more thinking there is enough space aboard a Sith transport to hide a body or two. We could catch a ride up there and then blend right in once we arrive. They'll probably only do a head count on the ground.
Blending. Now, do these people actually have multiple species? I mean, we've got the Sith, but is it like everybody, or is it specifically?
No, I would say human. It's not as I forget the term when they don't like other species.
Xenophobic.
Xenophobic. Thank you. I couldn't remember what it was. They're not as xenophobic as we see the Empire later on and stuff. So it wouldn't be uncommon to see other alien races on the ship. So you guys wouldn't stick out like a sore thumb or anything like that.
Then we'll need uniforms.
I think I can handle that.
Why is it everything I do for the Count, I have to wear other people's clothes?
You should be grateful.
I'm sorry, can you not stand my smell? I flap my coat at her. We're having this conversation while Jen is leaning her elbow on the chromium ugnaught.
Meet back here in an hour. So Dwayne, I'm gonna contact my uniform guy.
Sure, of course.
I'm gonna see if I can secure a couple of like Sith, like low ranking officer uniforms, something that wouldn't be too high ranking to like get like really stand out, but also isn't like, you know,
you're not the janitor.
So yeah, we don't want to be the janitor. We want to have at least enough authority to be able to boss people around, or, you know, walk into a potentially restricted area without being questioned too much.
See, the thing is, janitors get everywhere.
That's true. Janitors, yeah.
Officers?
You'd be surprised the access janitors get in places. So.
I am not putting on a jumpsuit.
So you're going to go off and contact your costume department.
My uniform guy.
I would like to go and just kind of get some more intel on the Moff specifically, on the kind of, like, they tighten up when he's here, so what's it like when he's not?
Okay.
Like, who's in charge? Does the person who's in charge have any debt?
Okay.
Or needs or connections?
Sure. Christine, for the uniforms, let's just do knowledge underworld. And the uniforms will be there, but the amount of successes and stuff you get will be how quality are. So even if you fail this, I'm going to say you get janitor uniforms. But if you succeed, then you can get the uniforms you'd like.
I want a triumphant despair now.
Okay, I'm going to flip a point to talk the talk.
Okay.
And what's my difficulty on this?
Well, what type of you want? Not super high ranking, but moderate ranking uniforms. So
yeah, I want like lieutenants, or, you know, like a something middle.
Okay, I'll say three purple. I'll say it's hard because regular uniforms would be kind of easy, but these are gonna be a little more complicated. So three purple.
So you're a charismatic something or other.
Then can I get a boost die? Because I have had dealings with the Sith before, as we determined.
Yeah, you definitely, you know exactly what you're looking for. You can describe the uniforms fairly well. So yeah, I'll give you a boost for that.
Okay. So that's going to be three yellow, two green, and a blue versus three purple.
Talk the talk, huh?
What?
I just don't know what you are, and I'm just going to keep thinking about it.
She's the madam.
Oh my.
Oh, buddy.
So that'll be five successes and two advantages.
All right.
So you get whatever exact uniform you want and whatever exact uniform you want for Jen.
Yep.
Yep. And they fit like a glove. They are like they were designed for you.
Like a body glove.
Yep.
Yeah, so
we're going scubaing.
So yeah, this contact. What species is this contact?
This species, this kind of runs counter a little bit because you don't normally think of them in like tailor or clothes kind of roles, but they're a Trandoshan.
Okay.
Good buddy who, who's helped me out before. The claws actually can do some beautiful
fine. No, that
fine,
makes sense. It gives you some precision.
Yeah.
And you can do your own punching.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So okay. Yeah, so your contact, he will meet you at some you know, nondescript location, and this is not your typical Trandoshan. This is a Trandoshan who is exquisitely dressed. He is wearing the finest of clothes. He's a very fancy, fancy Trandoshan. Perfectly tailored suit and everything, and he comes from
I like the hat.
Thank you. I've been experimenting with hats, and I think it works for me.
So...
what kind of hat is it, Christine?
I think it's like a almost like a Three Musketeers kind of hat. I forget what those are called, but like it's like the big wide brim with like the feather coming out of the top. Nice. Just, you know,
this is nice. This guy looks,
I support it.
Classy and old fashioned.
This guy looks like a pimp from the 70s. Yep. I like it.
Is he wearing a zoot suit?
Sure. Now it's
the cane was a little much.
The cane, it's got an eight ball at the top, that kind of thing. So
no, it's actually got, you know, like an actual skull of a small species of some variety.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it goes,
Madam, long time no see. Dare I ask why you need Seath? Officer, uniforms. I certainly hope you're not thinking of joining up with them.
Maybe only on a temporary basis.
Luckily, I still had your measurements on file from the Coruscant job, so this should fit perfectly. You said the others had to fit a transient, so I just used my generic hobo measurements. Everyone knows that transients and hobos are roughly the same size.
That will be perfect. Thank you, my dear.
Dare I ask if these will be returned to me?
This will be the end of our business. I can't vouch for the quality they would be returned in, especially from the vagrant.
If they do make it back, be a dear remember to dry clean. Don't worry about payment, because I still owe you from the time with that guy on the planet.
Oh, no. By all means. She'll still offer them a set of credits.
As always, you have been a pleasure to work with, and I wish you the best of luck. If you need anything else, don't hesitate to call.
I know. Take care.
Leans in, gives you that French double cheek kiss, and goes on his way.
Which is made so much better, because again, Trandoshan.
in the fabulous big old purple feather hat.
I'm sure he takes the hat off in a big flourish to give his double kiss, puts the hat back on, and strolls.
Twirls his skull cane and struts away.
Goes on his way.
So when the madam shows back up, she's in like that perfectly tailored like Sith uniform. Just, you know, everything fits, you know, seams are exactly where you want them. You know, she even makes the hat that goes with it look good somehow.
Is it that little pillbox hat?
I think it absolutely has to be.
It's a teeny tiny
it has
rim.
To be, yeah. So they always wear. Oh.
And an antenna for no good reason.
And she still has like a little bit of her hair that's kind of coming out of the cap. It just makes it look more fashionable. Makes her look a little bit relaxed, but not too relaxed or out of uniform. And then she passes you your uniform. Go put this on.
What rank is mine?
It's whatever is one less than mine. like if I'm like a lieutenant, you're like a lieutenant junior grade or something. Something
I'm the personal assistant.
Yep, something just to
a notch below.
Drive it in a little bit.
You're missing one of the little gold bars or something from your shoulder.
Yeah.
Now you've got like 3 gold bars and like a little crown or something. I've got 2 gold bars and a frown face. I'm would like to go ahead and make mine. I figure it's a streetwise because I'm looking for folks that have had dealings with the second in command that lingers, that kind of scene.
Okay. Yeah. Streetwise. We'll do. You've never been to this planet before, so I'll give you the same 3 purple. It's going to be hard. You've never been around these parts.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, most underworlds are more or less the same. So, 2 yellow, 2 green, 3 purple. Oh, it still says take that badge. I'm not taking any badges. All right, 3 success and a threat.
All right.
Tell me about, I'd like to know name, species, and current debt or vice.
You're just asking for what someone who's like in charge on the ship, like the
the person who is the one that's in control when everyone's a little more relaxed.
The ranking officer.
Yes.
Sure. His name is going to be Shock Gaines. He is a Togruta. And from your conversations, you know that this guy has a pretty bad spice addiction. That he comes down, whenever he is down, he goes to these places and he's just trying to keep his high as he can get. And he does not function very well. When he starts missing his fix, he gets very antsy and very jumpy.
Okay. If at all possible, I would like to procure a small amount of spice.
Sure. I'd say, yeah, you had the three successes from that. I'm going to say that with the threat, though, just to make it funny, that what you got with spice is not really spice. It's like a...
I will accept that. Can I at least know that it's not actually
spice? Yeah, it's
going to
be spice cut with something like a lot, like basically would be like if someone was smoking like oregano instead of weed.
I was about to say, it's spice, not spice.
It's a little bit of spice and cumin.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
Jen, why do you smell like tacos? Don't ask.
So it's like, yeah, it's like half spice, half seasoning salts. And not enough to get him completely high, right, but maybe take his edge off, I guess.
Enough to be distracting,
yeah,
at least.
That he'll at least think he's getting high. he'll get the placebo effect.
I will be sitting outside of the Chromium Ugnaught on a bench, you know, leaning back, arm along the back, legs crossed, just watching bystanders. When the madam walks up in her finely tailored suit, I do not acknowledge until she speaks to me.
Which, she throws you the uniform and says, put this on.
Jen notes the rank, but says nothing.
Yeah, this will definitely fit Jen okay. It is maybe like a size too big, but not so noticeable. It's like, oh, she's wearing someone else's clothes. Like, oh, maybe Jen's lost weight since she first got her uniform issued. And that's why it's hanging on her a little off, but not terribly noticeable.
I look decidedly shabby comparatively, yes, though.
You look like whatever a vagrant Sith would look like. That's exactly what you look like right now.
I will drop my standard stuff at my ship. Mm. Lock it up. Be good.
I would have taken your measurements, but I didn't want to.
Funny story. I wouldn't have wanted you to. Where would you like to go next, madam?
Now we need to get aboard that ship.
So, yeah, the two of you can make your way over to the loading dock area where the ships would be coming in and out. You guys are in uniform, so you notice that civilians are kind of giving you guys a wider berth because they know not to cross the Sith, that they are kind of like the law on this planet. You guys are basically walking around like police officers, and no one is going to mess with you guys right now.
Oh. I think once Jen is in the uniform and they are walking around town, Jen has slipped back into full cop walk.
Oh, yeah, that's true. This is kind of...
Like, this is something she knows. She does the I'm watching you but not aggressively kind of look at passersby. She does the half salute at other Sith officers. And while she doesn't look as nice, her posture puts the madam to shame.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that. And you're just slipping back into your old habits.
Well, we clearly have to have a posture off to see who looks the part better.
I don't know what
just
role.
Keep standing up straighter and straighter
until we're both like bending backwards.
Is that a coordination check or an athletics check? I don't know. A presence,
bloody minded stubbornness check.
I think it's called. This is a skill. It's called discipline.
Yeah, there you go.
How is your discipline?
Okay. How's yours?
Okay. Above average.
This is post-episode. Leslie really wants to know what I'm playing.
She's playing the madam. That's all you need to know.
And the madam makes me so angry. Okay, so we're going to head over to the base.
Yeah, you are.
Where the shuttles are.
Yeah, you see other officers are milling about. Some of them are loading up. Okay, so that informant mentioned that it was going to be leaving in a couple hours. So there are some people who have already loading up onto the ship. They're ready to head back up to the Grand Moff's freighter. And, you know, they've had their shore leave and they're heading back. And it's a busy port. People are moving about. Shipments are moving in and out. Visitors, workers. It's a very busy area right now.
Okay.
I will have a small, like, cigar box style of thing that is addressed specifically to that second in command, So I'm walking businesslike with that kind of tucked under my arm.
Sure. Are you trying to get on one of the shuttles right now, or are you just walking up?
I figure we're just entering the vicinity. I don't know our direct approach.
Yeah, I want to try to observe a little bit and see how they're handling it, because if they're not doing a head count as people are boarding the shuttles, then we can just waltz on and act like we belong. If they are, then I want to see about if we can't get to one that is still in the process of being loaded.
You notice that as they're getting on, everyone has to swipe their ID card to kind of to denote that they are getting back on duty. It's basically like clocking back into work. So these people, as they get on, they swipe and then they go into the shuttle transport to get back to work. So they are checking, not really checking the ID. If you just swipe it, they're going to let you go by as long as the card works.
It's like scanning into lunch.
Yeah, no one's there checking to make sure you're not clocking in for your friend Steve. So, yeah. But you guys have but one card.
Yep. I'm going to need to make a detour, the madam says.
Do you want any help?
I don't need it. But your way might be quieter, faster.
Less involving of organic discharge, or disemboweling, or poison.
I wasn't planning on killing anyone. Not yet.
Okay. So I will start walking toward one of the shuttles that is loading, but I'm going to take it in such a tangent that I'm going to accidentally run into somebody. Okay. And do the sorry, just running late, and have the box, like, I have to get this. Okay. Kind of, and then in that move, since they're coming off, they don't need their badge.
Okay, I see what you're doing.
Until they come back.
Okay.
So I'm intercepting somebody who's arriving.
Yeah, so someone who's basically just clocked out for work. You're going to take their badge. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, we'll do another. We can do a skullduggery for that one real quick. Two purple. It's not too hard. The person's trying to just get their way through there. They're in a rush to start their leave. They don't get a lot of time, so they're in a rush to get to whatever thing they're into, whatever pancake brunch they're heading towards.
The old galaxy buffet. Right.
You gotta get there before all the pancakes are done.
Yeah, can I have a boost from having my little boss box?
Oh, yeah. So they notice that you're trying to get there for gains?
Yeah. I have purpose.
Oh, yeah. I'll give you one blue for that.
Woohoo! So, two yellow, two green, one blue, two purple. Three success. Three threat.
Okay. Wow, three threats. That's a lot of threats there.
Yeah, I mean, that's something you can do, but I get the badge.
Yes, you do get the badge, but...
So, in order to complete the look of these uniforms requires, like, wearing the badge openly, right?
Yeah, you see that everyone is wearing it on their little breast pockety area.
Yeah. Do they have pictures, or are they just names?
I would say just pictures. I don't know why you would necessarily need a picture. I'd say yeah. I'd say just names.
Okay, so it's just like a name or whatever?
Yeah, name, rank, and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it might be something rank, then huh? Where maybe the badge, there's something that isn't some detail that might be more noticeable than the other one. Like, it might be a guy's name or something like that.
Yeah, I think that...
Something of that nature, or the rank correspondence might be off and off.
I was about to say, I think the ranks would be... Like, it would be the badge image.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have name and their department or whatever, but you'd have an image of their rank.
Yeah.
And since you gave yourself such a highfalutin rank...
I'm not that high. It's just a lieutenant. It's fine.
Yeah, but you're still not a grunt. And the only people accessible right now are grunts.
Yeah. That might be a detail that could get picked out later on and reveal those.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. I'll keep that as a floating possibility for me. I like a note. So yeah, the badge definitely says a rank that does not match what the madam is. Maybe you were able to pull off a badge off of a janitor. So you have a janitor badge for her.
I have a badge, and I kind of hurry, and since other people might be watching, I do the thing where I stop, like, I remember I needed to get something else, and I heel turn and head back to the madam.
Okay, sure. Yeah, so
and then when I get there, I just do the wrist flick. Doop.
You're actually earning your keep. I'm impressed. Not a lot impressed, but somewhat impressed.
I wish I could say the same.
I love the odd couple tension here.
All right. Oh, you're the one trying to ship them.
I've already got like 2 seasons of a TV show in my head of this crazy couple. Okay.
And so we've gotten now Jen does a very sarcastic half bow after you, madam.
She clips the badge to the front of her uniform and will take the lead to board one of these transports.
I follow like the dutiful, you know, helpful monkey that I am, scuttling behind the person to whom I am.
Yeah, just slipping into the role you did with Skip, kind of just a step behind the whole thing.
Thanks for listening to the Flight Risk Podcast. If you liked what you heard, please head over to the podcast service of your choice and leave us a review. Every review helps more people find the show. If you want to help the show out, please spread the word on social media. You can find us on Twitter @FlightRiskPod and on Facebook. If you want to help us in a monetary fashion, you can head over to Patreon and help support the show.
Hey, Leslie, I subbed yesterday.
Oh, good. You won't pass out.
Yeah, they just mainline those 5 hours.
Alongside not believing in sleep, she also doesn't believe in eating routinely. So,
I fall into that trap. It's like, have I eaten today? I don't remember what the last thing I ate.
Oh, well.
It's fine. Yeah. I keep trekking along.
I finished my dinner off by throwing my 40 ounces of water on the ground. That was fun.
Is that a ritual you have? Finish your food and just drop the water?
Well, to be fair, with the way the water bottle has been dropped, the bottom of it's not really reliable anymore. And I was like, man, I'm going to be late tonight. No, I was good.
Okay. By the way, I'm so sorry, future Dwayne, for all of our tangents.
Oh, poof. I should send you some of the raw audio from our show sometime. We go into some weird conversations. So this is all...
I blame Kyle.
This is all bonus content. This is all this is going to be.
Okay.